and his big cloth, and was in his underwear, a long, thin and thin strip of cloth, wound round the waist like a belt, and then passed between the legs to be fastened to the belt behind. He immediately set to work digging a pit where Izin Ma had indicated. The neighbors sat around, watching the pit becoming deeper and deeper. The dark topsoil soon gave way to the bright red earth with which women scrubbed the floors and walls of huts. Okagbue worked tirelessly and in silence, his back shining with perspiration. Okonkwor stood by the pit. He asked Okagbue to come up and rest while he took a hand, but Okagbue said he was not tired yet. Ekwefi went into her hut to cook yams. Her husband had brought out more yams than usual because the medicine man had to be fed. Izin Ma went with her and helped in preparing the vegetables. "There is too much green vegetable," she said. "Don't you see the pot is full of yams?" Ekwefi asked. "And you know how leaves become smaller after cooking." "Yes," said Izin Ma. "That was why the snake lizard killed his mother." "Very true," said Ekwefi. He gave his mother 7 baskets of vegetables to cook, and in the end there were only 3, and so he killed her, said Izin Ma. "That is not the end of the story." "Oho," said Izin Ma. "I remember now. He brought another 7 baskets and cooked them himself." Page 84. "And there were again only 3, so he killed himself too." Outside the obi, Okagbue and Okonkwor were digging the pit to find where Izin Ma had buried her Iyuwa. Neighbors sat round, watching. The pit was now so deep that they no longer saw the digger. They only saw the red earth he threw up mounting higher and higher. Okonkwor's son, Wo Ye, stood near the edge of the pit because he wanted to take in all that happened. Okagbue had again taken over the digging from Okonkwor. He worked, as usual, in silence. The neighbors and Okonkwor's wives were now talking. The children had lost interest and were playing. Suddenly, Okagbue sprang to the surface with the agility of a leopard. "It is very near now," he said. "I have felt it." There was immediate excitement, and those who were sitting jumped to their feet. "Call your wife and child," he said to Okonkwor. But Ekwefi and Izin Ma had heard the noise and run out to see what it was. Okagbue went back into the pit, which was now surrounded by spectators. After a few more hoefuls of earth, he struck the Iyuwa. He raised it carefully with the hoe and threw it to the surface. Some women ran away in fear when it was thrown, but they soon returned, and everyone was gazing at the rag from a reasonable distance. Okagbue emerged, and without saying a word or even looking at the spectators, he went to his goatskin bag, took out 2 leaves, and began to chew them. Page 85. When he had swallowed them, he took up the rag with his left hand and began to untie it, and then the smooth, shiny pebble fell out. He picked it up. "Is this yours?" he asked Izin Ma. "Yes," she replied. All the women shouted with joy because Ekwefi's troubles were at last ended. All this had happened more than a year ago, and Izin Ma had not been ill since. And then, suddenly, she had begun to shiver in the night. Ekwefi brought her to the fireplace, spread her mat on the floor, and built a fire. But she had got worse and worse, as she knelt by her, feeling with her palm the wet, burning forehead. She prayed 1,000 times. Although her husband's wives were saying that it was nothing more than Iba, she did not hear them. Okonkwor returned from the bush, carrying on his left shoulder a large bundle of grasses and leaves, roots and barks of medicinal trees and shrubs. He went into Ekwefi's hut, put down his load, and sat down. "Get me a pot," he said, "and leave the child alone." Ekwefi went to bring the pot, and Okonkwor selected the best from his bundle in their due proportions and cut them up. He put them in the pot, and Ekwefi poured in some water. "Is that enough?" she asked when she had poured in about half of the water in the bowl. "A little more." "I said a little. Are you deaf?" Okonkwor roared at her. Page 86. She set the pot on the fire, and Okonkwo took up his machete to return to his obi. "You must watch the pot carefully," he said as he went, "and don't allow it to boil over. If it does, its power will be gone." He went away to his hut, and Ekwefi began to tend the medicine pot almost as if it was itself a sick child. Her eyes went constantly from Isin Ma to the boiling pot and back to Isin Ma. Okonkwo returned when he felt the medicine had cooked long enough. He looked it over and said it was done. "Bring me a low stool for Isin Ma," he said, "and a thick mat." He took down the pot from the fire and placed it in front of the stool. He then roused Isin Ma and placed her on the stool astride the steaming pot. The thick mat was thrown over both. Isin Ma struggled to escape from the choking and overpowering steam, but she was held down. She started to cry. When the mat was at last removed, she was drenched in perspiration. Ekwefi mopped her with a piece of cloth, and she lay down on a dry mat and was soon asleep.